machlokes between the Sholem Eishiv on one side and the Beis Yitzchak on the other, that the Sholem Eishiv was machadish to us, that somebody who comes up with an idea, then even although that's not a physical thing that somebody can have ownership of, and there's no way of him acquiring such a thing, but automatically it belongs to him, the idea, since he created it, just as much as the milk belongs to the owner of the cow. So if somebody comes up with an idea, he owns that idea, and therefore for anybody to take it away without permission would be over the issa of Gezer, taking that idea away. So that's why we said last week, when an interior designer designs somebody's house and put down the plans, it will be also for somebody else to take those plans and use those plans to design their house without the permission of the interior designer. It will be over Issa Gezel, and if he does, they would have to pay for using those plans. So we're left now with a question which was center-based. And that was, that as somebody organized a chasna, you always ask a photographer to come round and paint and take pictures of the chasna, the event. At the chasna, one of the big occasions, all the family gets together. So at the chasna, they decide to have a family photo together of 4 to 5 generations. You know, the great bubby at the top, and the other 50 to 60 children, relatives, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all around the great bubby in the middle. Yeah. Yeah. So now, after a lot of effort from the photographer of getting the family together, because as soon as one's there, the other one disappears, but eventually the photographer got everyone together for this grand picture, and he's about to take this picture, where somebody on the side says, hold on, I just want to take the picture as well, everyone stay still. And the photographer turned around to the other person and says, you're not allowed to take a picture. This is mine. If you want to take a picture, you have to pay for the picture which I produce. So, does he have rights over that event to say, look, I created it? Like we said last week, the interior designer created the design of the house, and for anyone to take away is gezel, and they have to pay for that design without permission. So also the photographer created the situation. He's now the owner of all these people and all this picture, and therefore even before the picture's taken, he can say to somebody else, you can't take this picture because I own this event, and if you want to take it, you have to pay for it. Second question, more obvious question, is what the photographer has taken pictures of the chasna, can somebody just take that picture and copy it? Or they have to pay the photographer in order to take copies of those pictures?
What do you mean, from his negatives?
From his, he sends them out.
Does he say nothing in the exact same copy this event or no?
Well, it's connected, that's the whole sugya, but we already said last week that somebody created an idea, he's considered the owner of that idea, just like the milk of the cow belongs to the owner of the cow, according to the Sholem Eishiv. Yeah?
Going back to photography, is there a difference between whether he has scenery or it's just people? Meaning, maybe you can say you can't have ownership over people. So, the people are standing still and there's no real background in place, then he can't claim anything.
No, but if they're put out, to gather them together,
but they're still human beings.
And to put them into a pose.
There's still people that walk and talk and have a bira. But maybe the scenery is what would make it. I mean, if he put up lights, if he put up other things, maybe that would be the thing he has ownership over.
Photographer's getting paid to take the pictures.
Correct, and he has ownership of the pictures.
He's going to pay for pictures, not to make the situation.
He's not paying for the wedding.
No,
he's paying
for the wedding. Pose the people.
But he put the people together, and he sits them down in specific ways in order to make the picture into a good situation. And therefore, maybe that means he's the owner of this situation. Therefore,
he's getting paid for his talent to take the pictures.
Not only that, because He says if you want copies, then you have to pay also for more copies of the pictures. He has ownership of the pictures, yes?
Not of the pose.
Not of the pose.
I mean, I'm paying him to make the... If anything, the pose belongs to the ones that are paying him to do it, no?
No.
They're hiring him
because
to get
even the ones who have hired him have only rights for one picture. If you want copies, then you have to pay more.
The picture, I understand, because he creates the picture.
Yes.
But like, if a lab hires a developer, yes, the lab owns the rights to the medicine they're developing, not the one who developed it, because they're paying him for that.
Fine, but over here, the picture's for sure owned
the picture.
The so then for the situation which the picture is of, maybe he also owns. Does he own the situation?
I don't think so, because I'm the one. What?
Okay. So the answer is, the answer is like this. So a lot of the Dayanim say that it depends. Depends what type of photo are we talking about.
Was this actually a Maisa Jar?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, it was sent
I never
in.
I never saw that happen. Yeah. Yes. You can't take pictures.
So it's like this. Let's start about the picture itself. He took a picture. Now, you want, without permission of the original photographer, to take that picture, which was sent to the Hosni and Khalid's family, and now you want to just make a photo, a copy of it, a copy of that picture. Are you allowed? So it depends. We said the whole idea behind it is that if you create something new, an idea, invention, a chap, a book, we say that that creation belongs to you, whoever created it. Like the milk of the cow belongs to the owner of the cow. But there's a condition. It has to be something created. I created it, so therefore I'm the owner of it. So, some pictures that the photographer gets in the excitement of the event, he created, he managed to chop at that particular time, a picture which, with his talents, he was able to get hold of. Yeah, the chosim and the throwing something in the air and a chop of the
or
picture.
Or just composing a pose, a special pose.
Oh, before we get into the pose. So therefore the pictures, it depends what picture. Are we talking about a picture? He took a picture of the chosim color underneath the chuppah.
Who so created the picture?
He did create the picture. The chosim and kala created the picture.
They no, they created the setting, but the actual photograph he created.
And so could everything else. It's not a chiddush.
So you lost. Wait, now you're saying it has to be a ma'isa uman?
It has to be a chiddush that he was mamsi that, this is a picture. We needed somebody to chup at that particular moment, to be in the right place, the right moment, to get the right expressions. He managed to do that because of his expertise of a photographer.
Well, every cow can create milk. Hmm? Every cow creates milk.
Right. That's just a dimming, saying that. That comes out of something which she was created. Yeah?
No, all I'm saying is that
an idea only belongs to him if it's something that he created the idea.
It's not an idea, though. It's
so he created the situation.
It's a tangible object he created.
He did create it.
He didn't create
a photograph. It's very tangible.
The photograph you can't keep. It belongs to the Chosin Kala because they paid for it. We're talking about the picture on the photograph.
If he takes a picture of some special thing that's happening during the dancing,
yes,
he didn't create that.
No, he didn't create it, but it needed his expertise to cut the picture at that moment.
So someone standing behind him can't take the picture?
He can. We're not talking about the events. We're talking about
the picture
after it. Now that he's got such a unique picture which he managed to cut, so we say that was his expertise, and therefore that set picture uniqueness belongs to him. And if you want to make a copy of that picture, then you have to ask his permission. But if it's a regular picture, there's a chosin and a kala underneath the chuppah, it's not something which was unique in that event.
He's taking a copy of the picture.
The chosin and kala's first cousin. No, because in the contract he says, if you want, you get photos plus the originals, but if you want copies, then you have to pay for every copy, you have to pay an extra.
Is that fair?
You can make any tzedai in a schiras polim.
Once I buy the picture, why do I have to?
Because schiras polim, I'm hiring you, and I'm willing to do this event for you with these conditions. And if you don't follow my conditions, you're taking away paying me for my job. And therefore you're over the issa of gezel of not paying for the job.
But absolutely.
Because the conditions are part of the payment.
Absent the contract, he would be able to copy the... Absent the contract, he would be able to copy the...
Yes, because the same reason we're saying over it. It depends which picture is he copying. No copyrights. Yes. Yeah, that's a contract. Yeah, that's
a regular picture you can copy, even if the contract says copy. But it's not his...
No, the contract between the chosen and kala... And the photographer, he can't, the Hossein and Kala and their family can't break any of the conditions between them and the photographer, because that's part and parcel of my job and my payment of my job, and you break any condition, you are holding back payment, because that payment is also those conditions, and therefore you're overdosing. But something which is no contract on, between the first cousin of the Hossein and Kala and the photographer, there's no contract on, and he gets hold of the picture and copies it. Therefore, it depends which picture he's copying, whether it was something that intrinsically belongs to the photographer. That setting, that idea, the thing that he cut or not, depending what umchus is. Yes?
And what about the copyright clause?
According to his rules, yes, he won't be able to use it, but sometimes they put it in their shop as an example of an event.
Yeah. What about the copyright laws? Mm-hmm. What about the copyright laws?
Now, go. That's the pictures. Now, what about?
How would you determine whether it's a classical photographer's pictures or it's a regular picture?
We would have to ask a mumcha, a photographer. A photographer says, no, this is not stomach a picture over here. This needs certain expertise to get this type of picture on over here, this type of expression. You have to be in the right place, right moment to do such a thing. Now, what about the events before the picture? So, event before the picture, if it involved a lot of, Rabbi Yashin says this, if it involved a lot of effort and tircha from the photographer to make a scenery of a picture,
or creativity,
then it belongs to him as well, even before the picture.
Same principles.
And so therefore, in the case of the Mishpacha getting together, a once in 40 year event where they can get the whole family, 60 members of the family, the queen in the middle, yeah, and not running around, and all the children and all that sitting down in the right poses and expressions in the right place, then that event actually belongs to the photographer even before the picture has been created, and therefore he can stop anyone taking a picture of it if he feels it's going to take away from his life.
And what if the Bobby
said, when he sets up the screen and the lights and everything for the family portraits, basically that setting belongs to him, and anybody just walking up and taking photos can't do that?
Yes. If he's making a special aura of the event, he's making special lighting and special scenery behind this, and that itself is also gives him certain rights.
What if the Bobby says, what do you mean my uncle can't take a picture? You're fired. Your uncle take a picture of us.
Yeah, you've already signed the contract. It's too late for the great Bobby.
No, I'll pay you. Leave. We don't care. But we're staying. We want him to take a picture of us.
You're still going to have to pay him.
You have to break up. You have to break
Why
up.
Why do you break up? Now the Bobby's the one who's keeping everything.
Because once he's created it, therefore, you have to break it up and recreate it in order to lose his rights over it.
How much do you have to break it up?
What constitutes a change?
How much do you have to break it up? One person. How much do you have to break it up?
How much do you have to break it up?
Oh. Coming back.
Does someone have to ask to take the picture, or do you say Shtika Kohod? Does someone have to ask him proactively, can I take the picture, or Shtika Kohod?
He's there, he's there, he's there. Now, this was all based on the concept of that people's expressions and events is something that in itself has ownership. What do I mean? Can somebody comes up to somebody and says, I want to take a picture of you. Can the owner, the person himself say, you're not allowed to take a picture of me or not? I'm making it also for you to take a picture of me. Is he allowed to say such a thing? Has he got rights to say such
a
thing?
Rabbanim will say that.
But has they got halachic rights to say that? Rabbanim say it because there's a Zohar that says there's a problem and you're being mazik, and it's a problem of mazik, not me. There's a problem of making shades in on the pictures. Okay.
So it's a halachic...
But it's not being mazik me. It's just creating shades in over there. But is there a choshen mishpat that they can say it's also for you to take a picture of me, and therefore when you do, you're over, it's a gezel for taking a picture of me?
Well, I don't know if he can say it, but his parents should be able to say it, because they produced them. They did.
They have the rights to.
It's the milk of the parents.
Well, so, at this point, it's his yadayim, you know, once you're past, you know, the 8th day.
Now, so on this is a machlokus. Let's look at number one. So Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld was asked this question, and he says in his answer, "Ein zeh parasocho chaver? His face does not belong to him. Ki imaytei maisa atzma. Be'im yitzur medato ki yochol also alof. If somebody would come along and draw pictures of this guy, he goes and sees this person's face." And he has a good memory. He goes home and draws a picture of the face. Do you say that now he has taken something away from that person and that it was awesome for him to do? No.
Why?
Ain't awesome. Why? Because ain't awesome also domish ain't that you should such a thing. You can't make also something which is not in your control.
Can you ask for a share of the proceeds of the sale of that photograph or picture?
Maybe that's a shy we'll talk about in 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah?
So I can't, but I could say you can't take a picture of my cow?
No, you could. We're saying over here, any type of taking pictures you can do, even against the will of the person you're taking a picture of. Any type of picture. Because the concept of taking pictures is not under your jurisdiction to stop me. Because I could just look at you, go home, and draw you. It's not under your ownership enough to say that it's mine, and I can prevent you from doing it, says Rabbi Yosef Chaim.
Well, I could look at your house and go home and make the same thing too.
Yes.
But you said you weren't allowed to do that.
That's different. The flat is different to doing the plans, taking the plans and making a copy of the plans and using the plans in order to do it.
Why? I have a photographic memory. I just look at the plans and I go on.
If you have a photographic memory, it's different.
Also, I can. Why is it different? I can use a camera like this.
Yeah, maybe you could use the camera.
So I could take a picture of the plans and go home and do it. I just can't take the plans of the piece
maybe,
of paper.
Itself. Maybe. Maybe we're going to discuss exactly how far you take this. What does it mean?
You said it was also to make a photocopy of the
yes, so we're going to, so we'll have to understand, it's asking a very close question.
So taking a picture of the cameras.
How far do we take with Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld's statements? Means that anything that you can remember in your head is obviously not under this person's jurisdiction, therefore you can take it away from you. What is it, how do you take it?
What does it mean?
A person can't make osa, something which is not under his rishus.
Whose rishus?
His rishus.
Why is it rishus of shel chaveira?
Shel chaveira, under his rishus. Ein rishus of shel chaveira. Ein olam osa dova she'ein rishus of shel chaveira. It's not even his yet to make osa. Yeah, he's just made a picture. Yeah, it's like going home. He says, obviously, the event itself, you can't make also. The picture is not yours. To make also, it's his, and he hasn't even made it yet. The Rogachova argues. Rogachova Gorn argues. And he brings a Gemara in Baba Kama. He says like this. Eze Matbeah Sha'avram Avinu. Because a coin called the Avram Avinu coin. What was it? Zolken, Vizakena, Misadechot. You know what? On one side there's a, so to speak, a picture of a Zolken, of Avram Avinu. Ubacha, Basula, Misadechot. On the other side of the coin was a young person. There's an old person on one side, young person on the other side. Says Tosis. It can't be that there was actual a picture of the a person. You can't make pictures of people on coins. It was written on one side, Zokin, and was written on the other side, Bachar. It wasn't actually a picture of them, it's just words. Says the Rogachover Gaon, understood this Tosis to mean, is that you cannot make pictures of people on coins without their permission.
Does it mean because of
Rogachover? That's the Poshit Pshat to that. The Rogachover Gaon says, no, the sound of this Tosis meant is that a picture belongs to the owner of that, of the face. And therefore, without its permission, you can't do it. And therefore, it can't be that there was a picture on
maybe
this coin.
Maybe you got permission.
Of Avraham Avinu?
Yeah.
No. Avraham Avinu was in Olam Emes at that time.
Oh, it's a picture of Avraham Avinu?
Yeah, that's what it says. So the Rogachover Gaon says, it is in your jurisdiction to say, this is my face, you want to take a picture of my face, you're not allowed to take a picture. Now what's going on over here? What is the machlokus where you can take a picture of a person's face or you can't take a picture of a person's face? This is now what you have to think about for a minute or so. What is the nekudas ha-machlokus whether I can stop you taking a picture of my face or not? And with this answer be able to how to quantify how far you can take Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld's Kiddush or not. Okay, think about it for a second.
Taking a picture is just
so
it's not that it's something you've tried or something. I mean, if you're looking at me, it is, but you know, what is a picture?
Your face is miuchad, yes? That's what you just said. So, and last week you said somebody made a design of a house, interior designer, you're not allowed to photocopy it. Why? You're just taking a picture. And who created your nose?
People spend time brushing their hair, shower, shaving. Especially women.
Well, what if you got plastic surgery? Have you got plastic surgery?
A picture is something anybody can see, basically, right?
The plan is something anybody can see.
Understand? If the picture is taken, you're just messing up.
Why is it the same thing? Why is it the same? One thing you're talking about using something that somebody created. Here you're talking about representing someone where maybe shouldn't be represented. It doesn't want to be represented. Yeah, you can see me anywhere, but only where I go, not where I don't go.
You can go into somebody's house and see the design in any case.
If he lets you in your house.
Yeah, he lets you in the house.
But if he doesn't let you in the house.
He came to Shalashunas for, and you saw the house.
Okay, you are letting the house can see. Those other 100 people are not letting my house. I don't want my face going around the house.
Ah, now you're getting somewhere. Now you're getting somewhere. Now you just have to remember what you said in order to get it there. What's the difference? Anyone hear what Eric said?
You don't want to spread around. It's a privacy issue.
Public property.
Public property or private property? Very big difference. I walk around the streets. Yeah, I can't avoid people looking at my face. Yes? Okay. It's something that's open and I can't control. I can't prevent people from looking at my face. It's not in my control to control. It's not in my control to control. It's something that's out for the public.
As a practical matter, or how often?
And therefore, even although my faith belongs to me, but since I can't control people looking at it, therefore, as if it's hefka, as if I have no, I mean, my ownership has been taken away, because what's the definition of ownership? Something I can control, I can limit, and I can say, I'm over here, I'm going to prevent people looking at me.
Well, I could wear a mask.
We're talking about million people, yeah? You could.
No, but my side could wear a mask if I wanted to. I have a reason.
Yeah, you could go to the moon as well. Now, therefore, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld says, since it's not in your control to prevent people from seeing this scenario, i.e. your face, therefore you haven't got ownership over it, because the definition of ownership is having control, and you haven't got control, so therefore you've got no ownership, and therefore people can take pictures of your face. Whereas, according to the Rogatog of the Gaon, he learns that ownership is not defined by control. It can be mine, but I can't control it. It still could be mine, but I can't control it. Doesn't the fact that I have no control mean I don't own it? The fact that it's mine is because it's on my face. And therefore, since it's mine, even though I can't control, I can still, it still belongs to me, I can say that you're not allowed to take a picture. So therefore the machlokas is, what's called ownership? Is control fundamental to ownership, or it's not? And therefore it's now obviously why it's nothing to do what we discussed last week with the interior design plans.
And if you take a photo, what are you over on? Gezel?
Gezel, according to the Rocket Chopper.
Yeah. The dispute you don't have control then. First of all, you never have complete control of anything.
We don't need complete control.
Okay, oh, so
we need...
With your face, you also have partial control.
Yeah, I haven't got partial control.
Yes, you do. You can see my face, but only where I go.
Yes.
You can't see my face...
But wherever you go, I can see your face.
Okay, but I can see it if I go there.
Yeah, but wherever I go, you go, I can see your face.
Nobody in South Africa can see my face.
Right, but doesn't matter. That's just a technicality, you see. Yes, it is. Look, you want a ticket to South Africa, we can maybe arrange it.
That's only if I want it.
Yes.
Therefore, I have control.
That's not called control of your face. That's control of your body.
It's control where people can see.
That's not called. No, control means. Control means that I'm in a situation. Control means I'm in a situation where the person is there to see and you are preventing him to see. That's what is in control. It depends, we'll discuss next week, on how the copyright laws affect everything that we say. But without any copyright laws, yeah, but maybe it depends what the interior designer event was. Yeah, is it a mamish public building that everyone has rights to access, which not many, it must be a public park, maybe. And building already, also there's limited
control. The library.
Now, that's without copyright law, of course. So therefore, all that we're discussing in respect to the photos, of the photographer, again, it would be before the event where the photo hasn't yet been created, yes? Suggests as the person himself doesn't have ownership over his face, then how can you suggest that the photographer has ownership over that scenario either? So therefore it's all going on the basis of the Rogatchoga, that you can say that in this situation the photographer has control over the event that he created. Okay. Now let's move on to our next case. A case which did come to Bissell. First case was just a Shiloh sent to Bissell. Now a case that came to Bissell. There was a Adrichal. Anyone know what's Adrichal in English? What's Adrichal?
Architect.
Yeah. Architect. 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 Now you need one if you want to make extensions to your house. Then part of the process is you have to give over plans to the local authorities and the relevant boards in order to ever get those plans passed. Yeah? Now, there was this architect who drawed up plans for somebody in floor number one, and he presented them to the area. Okay. And the plans were passed, and they are going to be activated by the cover. Now, floor number two also wants to make an extension, but he wants to save a bit of money. So he goes to the area, takes out the plans, which, by law, I think he's allowed to even take out those plans, by law. If he pays a certain amount of money to the area to take those plans out. He looks at those plans, makes photocopies, and therefore now uses those plans to make the extension in his floor. And he saves money. Now, comes to Basin, Reuven on floor number one, and the architects on floor number one, who created those plans, takes Shimon on floor number two to Basin, and says, over here there's two timers. Reuven claims, I had to pay for these plans, and you used them for free. I want you to do 50-50 with the cost of the architect, which I had to pay. The architect claims differently. I created these plans for Reuven. They're mine. And now you, Shimon, on the second floor, are using those plans. You have to pay for the same amounts which Reuven paid. Double. Now, I get double money for the fact that now Reuven and Shimon are using them. Shimon says, what are you talking about? I didn't need you. I didn't need to speak to you. I just went to the area, took out the plans, photocopied them, and used them. Why should I have to pay anybody? Yeah. For sure you have to pay the area.
Question number one, it depends on their relationship. Reuven and the architect. The architect sold the plan sitting for whatever he wants. So
there's nothing in the contract.
Nothing mentioned over there. So we're going to concentrate on question number two. Question number one we'll discuss next week. Question number two we're asking. Shimon's claiming I shouldn't pay anything. Is he right? Or does he have to pay someone? We'll discuss maybe someone.
Why is there any different than the interior decorator?
Yeah. So last week we said the interior designer created the plans, it was used, and the neighbor came along and used those plans for her thing, and therefore she has to pay to the interior designer because those plans belong to the interior designer and it's going to
But these are publicly available. These plans are publicly available. The interior designer's plans were in the closet.
Ah.
So they're not publicly available to use for yourself.
Really
they're copyrighted, no? They're copyrighted,
man. It's still different than having in your closet.
These are more available than last week. So therefore now we open up the Shiloh. Does that mean since they're more available, therefore the owner...
Does it mean I go to the library and photocopy all the books? Can I go to a library and photocopy all the books?
Without copyright law. Don't talk about your copyright law.
It's cheaper, probably just to buy the book.
We'll discuss copyright laws next week. Yeah? Most books have copyrights. Yeah.
And could we say that he has to pay a reduced amount? Meaning, had he gone to the architect himself, said, "Hey, I saw you made plans for Reuven. I want to do the same thing. How much do you want from me?"
Okay, but say you're basically saying they belong to the architect. It's just maybe it's a reduced rate because of it's the second time, less effort in it. Lawyers don't charge less for the fact that it's the same contract as your neighbor. Yes, even although they just press a button and it's a copy of it. It takes 1 minute.
Change the date.
Yes?
Change the name.
Okay. So, There is a Gemara Bava Metzia that says like this. Menayin, number three. Menayin la veitza sheshot v'na shehim uteris. How do we know that somebody lost an article in the river that anyone can keep it? Somebody lost something in the river took it away, now somebody finds it, that everyone who finds it can keep it and does not need to give it back. Diksiv, because it writes, V'cheintase l'chomor v'cheintase zinlosa v'cheintase l'chol aveid z'achicha asher tavid b'menu motzosum. It says in the Torah that somebody lost it and somebody else found it, then there's a mitzvah shavus aveidah. Mi shavuta menu motzu kol otam. Is only a chiv of a shavus aveidah, somebody who's lost it and it's found by other people. Yotzazu shavut v'menu ve'enu motzu kol otam. Excluding something which is now in the river, which is lost from everybody. It's now the ownership, the owner can't get hold of it, and nobody can get hold of it in its present state. And since it's no one can get hold of it in its present state, there's no mitzvah hashavas aveta, and whoever finds it after that state can now keep it. Teresas.
Because of you.
Now, what's the reason? What's the reason why, in the case where it's in the river, and we say no one can get hold of it, now it's hefker, so to speak, and anyone can keep it. What's the reasoning behind it?
You've given up your ownership.
Because no one gets
so. So the original owner gives up hope of ever find, of it ever being found.
And, no, because the Gemara says, even if he's screaming, I'm not giving up hope, he still was Hefka against his will.
Because he's still giving up hope.
Because, and even if he's dreaming that, and he's not giving up hope, it still says to
but
Gemara.
But what
that,
I saw is
under normal circumstances, you can say what you like, but you can't get hold of it.
So, not
yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's to do dinner, machos for dinner. But, a whole lot of shirim in itself.
There's no malchus there.
Now, the reason behind it, we can research what's the reason behind it from a Gemara Chulin. The Gemara Chulin says like this. Not this Talagola, so the Bedika bias. Somebody who made Kodesh his chicken. So the base of Mikdosh, the Bedika bias. Umorda, and the chicken went the sugar and ran away and people couldn't get hold of it. Omele Rav Shimon Bein Lokesh Kim and Shemorda Pokele Kedusha So. Since it went the sugar, it's no longer Kaddish. Says the Chazanish. Why? Because as soon as it goes the sugar, it's got the status of the Gemara in Bar Metzia of being an Aveda that no one can get a hold of. And therefore ownership as automatic release, and therefore Hekdish, which were the owners of this chicken, have to release it once it's no longer under their jurisdiction. They can't get hold of it. Says Tosus, Shamina Mahakhu, we see from here, that Tanagolim Shalchulin, even if the chicken is not Hekdish but belongs to somebody, Shemadu Balehem, the Hochulahem, and they rebelled against their owners and went to sugar, Habi Hefka, they belong, the Hefka, the Machzik Mehem Zocha, and whoever gets hold of that chicken can keep it, for the same reason, because when the chicken goes mad, it no longer has ownership over it. The Rashba argues. The Rashba says, no, it's a din in Hektish. Kim and Shinisnai sa Gizbo. The Gizbo, the one in charge of Hektish, has to give up hope. And if he gives up hope, then he's no longer the owner. If he doesn't give up hope, then he's still the owner. All the Mafashim ask the question. What's going on? Tosis says, this chicken that goes running away has got the status of being in the yam, and therefore it's automatic hefker, even if he's shouting his head off, I'm not giving up. Says the Rashba, the chicken is only hefker if he gives up hope, but if he doesn't give up hope, it's not hefker. Why are they arguing? They are arguing whether this chicken case is comparable to the case of the river. Tosa says it is, and the Rashba says it's not comparable. Why? Because they have a different understanding of why does the river case take away ownership of the person who owns the article that falls into the river. So what's the reasoning?
So
you're saying toasters, I don't understand. You're saying that it's not really gone away, it's just running and you can catch him. So what's shan toasters? What's the math locus in toasters and the master?
I don't understand. The clay base of Mikdash have lost their kedusha because they were taken away by a conqueror?
If there's years, yes.
Really?
Yeah. You haven't learned Tafyomi and Chulin yet? Now. Yes? What's the difference between the chicken case and the river case, which is not Yumi's chilik?
In the case of the river, it's not, even though someone's saying I don't give up hope, it's not realistic.
Yes.
In the case of the chicken, it could be realistic.
That's what Yumi says. I said, not like Yumi. He said it in American, you said it in English.
Makes more sense to me.
One criteria could be what's the majority. I mean, what do most people respond to? And if you say the majority respond for the river, let's say 90% of people would be yet, these guys automatically affects everyone.
It's the same thing in another
way. You would have said it in a different language.
Okay.
Try the Canadian language.
The river is not a koach.
Yes.
So there's a koach taking away the Aveda, even though he's protesting and saying, I'm not.
Okay.
But there's an external force involved.
And the chicken?
And the chicken's legs.
He's also got a koach. Have you ever tried picking up a chicken? He's trying to run away.
Arab Yom Kippur.
I've done it. Now, I'm very disappointed because it's something to do with what we said at the beginning of this year. Something to do with the machlokas of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld and the Rogachogger. I'm giving you clues now. What did we say the machlokas over there was?
Whether you own your face or not.
What's called ownership?
Control.
Public versus.
Is it control? Or is, even if you don't have control, you can have ownership? So let's input that into this over there. A chicken that goes crazy. Yes? He's now running away from the owner, and the owner's got no chance of catching it. He's already 100 meters ahead of him. Yeah? So now he has no control over that chicken. Because its meshuggah's going away. But would you say that the chicken is not under the control of anybody? Or it's only not under the control of the owner?
No, somebody's standing next to the kitchen, they can catch it.
You'll be out again. So therefore the only one who has lost control of a chicken is the owner. If you define ownership as being in control of what you own, therefore as soon as the owner himself has lost control, then no longer he is the owner. That's what Tosis holds. Chicken goes, Meshuggah, I'm not in control of anymore, I've lost my ownership. Because part of ownership, it means control, and I haven't got control now. But the Rashba learned, no, even if you're not controlled, you can still be the owner. So what's that case? Why is the river do you lose? Because in the case of the river, the Gemara specifically says, is not under the control of nobody. Nobody can get hold of it, not just the owner. There's no way that anyone's going to be able to get hold of this, unless it's Derech Neis, that they'll never be able to get hold of what's in the river. So since it's completely under no one's ability to use it, so therefore there's no one's ability to use it, therefore there's no use of this object at all, therefore no ownership can be on this object. So therefore, but that doesn't apply to the chicken. The chicken, people, the owner can't use it, but other people will be able to use it, and therefore ownership hasn't been removed in such a case. So that's the machlokes. Now, getting back to us. Do we have That's in our scenario. What's I mean? What's our case? The architect made plans and he put it into the area. What's the policy of the area in respect to other people being able to look at those plans?
They allow it.
They allow you to look, but they don't allow you to. I mean, the area was about photocopying, you know?
No, they allow you to photocopy. What they generally do is they charge you per page.
Yeah, they charge you. Yeah, they charge you. Give us a bit of money and you're allowed to do anything. Yeah? So therefore, when the architect submitted those plans, he knew Mirosh that he's giving it to somebody who's has the ability and the rules to give out to anybody who wants and to make photocopies. The architect knows Mirosh giving to Iria means everybody can come and take photocopies of that without my knowledge, without me being able to stop them. Because that's what area means when you give plans to them. So if so, does he have control of those plans now? The fact that he submitted those plans to the area, does that mean he's no longer in control of those plans or not?
That's water.
Yeah, it's not water. He's lost control. No, he's lost control of those plans by giving them to Iria. What's control mean? Restricting other people's use.
But the Iria has control.
You said the Iria does.
What?
No, but the architect.
The Iria has control now.
Yeah, and that policy is anybody comes along. Yes? So therefore, if you define ownership as having control, once you submit those plans to Iria, by definition, you're saying, I have no longer control over these plans. And therefore, you're no longer the owner of these plans, and if somebody comes in and copies them, they're not stealing from me because I'm not the owner anymore. Because my ownership is only if there's control. I don't have control of these plans.
Even if I write on the plans, these plans are the property of so-and-so.
It doesn't matter. Because you give and submit them to the area. But this is a conflict to what you wrote. But if you learn like the Rashba, that even if you don't have control, you're still the owner. So if so, somebody comes along and takes those plans away. Whose plans? Who created them? The architect. If he creates something, a chiddush, which the architect did, he owns it. Okay, he doesn't have control, but he still owns it. You're using his without permission. It's still gezel. And therefore, says Rabbi Yashiv, since there's a Rashba, it's a problem to take those plans based on the concept of control. Let's move on to maybe another reason you'd be able to take it. The Shulchan Aruch number 5, Shulchan Aruch says in Reish Samechaf like this, and you tell me whether it's relevant to us, this machlokus. Hamavid momad ladas ein nizokin lo. Somebody takes his own money and makes it get lost. We don't have to bother about it. Kate, somebody, give me an example of this. Hishlich kisa le rishus harabim. Somebody throws his wallet into the rishus harabim. Bolopo, and this goes away. Hariza ivid momad ladas, he's throwing his money away. Even though, says the Shulchan Aruch, which is the Rambam, it's also for people to take it, because it still belongs to him, but you don't have to do Hashavas Aveda.
Why isn't that called being
so master? Says the Rambam Shulchan Aruch, even if you throw something into the Rishus HaRabim, it still belongs to the owner who threw it there, but there's no mitzvah Hashavas Aveda.
Why isn't that called being mafkir?
You can't pick it up.
That's not called mafkir.
So you can't pick it up. You just have to walk.
Yeah, you can just leave it. B'yesh omrin, says the Ramah. Aveda madas havi hepka. No, you put it in the Rishus HaRabim. You've given up your ownership. You've thrown it away. Machlokus. That's the Rosh.
Like I said, according to Rambam, if somebody throws something out in the garbage, I can't take it.
Garbage is different.
Why?
Garbage is a clear case of ketzer.
What's the difference?
After the shift.
Okay.
Okay. Now let me ask you a question. So, when the architect gave over these plans to the area, it's like throwing it in the street. According to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, it will be awesome for people to take that without his permission, to use it for themselves, those plans. But according to the Rambam and the Rosh, you've thrown it into the street, so therefore you're giving up your ownership. Because the area is the street, because that's what the area do with your plans. They put it in the street.
No, he's giving it to the area. He didn't throw it to the street.
Hmm?
By giving it to the area, he didn't throw it to the street.
Yes, because what's the area going to do?
The area is throwing it to the street.
No, by you. That's the policy of the area. The area said to us, we got a sign. You give it to us, then we give it to the street.
No,
that's their sign.
Though. There's a difference. By putting it in the street, by putting
it, there's a reason. He's doing it for a reason. Oh, he's mad about that. He's taking something and throwing it in the garbage. Which means he's like the chicken. He's nuts.
Right. Yeah.
But when he gives it to the area, there's a cheshbon. It has to go to the area. Then the area is mastering. He's not mastering.
Yeah, because there's a cheshbon.
But he's not mastering.
Look, Saita, I'll give you a example. Let me give you two. I come up to you and I say, I'll give you $100 to throw your $50 into the street. Now, you got a reason to throw now that $50 in the street. Yes? But still, the Shulchan Aruch will say over there, you threw your money into the street, according to the Ramah, it's hefker. It's hefker. You have a reason to do it.
There is a difference though, because when I throw it into the street, I'm relinquishing control of it. When I'm giving it to the Riyah, I'm putting it under somebody else's control.
No, I would give it, and what they're saying? They're saying, before you give it to us, you know what? If you give it to us, we're not going to control it at all. We're going to give it to the street. That's their side.
We are going to control it.
No!
We're going to make money from that.
Yes, I'll control it. Yes. We give it to the street. We're not for you. We're not going to control it for you at all.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's somebody else is taking your place now.
Right.
So you have relinquished control.
Yes.
By definition.
You're throwing it
when
to
I
the
throw it to the street, I haven't, I mean, I don't know why you haven't relinquished control, but we're saying you haven't relinquished control. But when I give it to somebody else's control, that's relinquishing control.
Okay.
Matt, I agree with Matt. I can't hear what you say, but I agree with
okay. So let me ask you, how do we understand the Gemara Baba Kama, the Fee, the Rosh? The Baba Kama doesn't make sense. The Gemara says like this. It's the Shulchan Aruch, passing the Gemara Baba Kama. It says, Azorek Kalem Rosha Gav. Somebody throws off his Wedgwood china from the roof. The Americans don't make anything expensive. That's why I use English. The Ain Tachtem Karim Kassus. The guy's a Meshuggah. He threw off his Wedgwood china and there's no pillows underneath. What's going to happen? It's going to break. And it white flying through the air, something comes down and hits it with a stick and breaks those Wedgwood china. Hazarek, the one who threw it, if it wasn't his Wedgwood china, he threw it, he's chayev. Even though it didn't break because of him at the end. But Meshaba Potter, the one who hits it with the stick, is Potter. We're not going to go on that, we're going to discuss that when you get into Hilchos Mazikin. Mefarshim, even the Rosh ask over here, why is the one who threw the Wedgwood china off, yes? Now, the halakha is even if the owner threw off the Wedgwood china, yes, in the case where he threw off the Wedgwood china, then, in that case, we say, the guy who broke it, he's chayv. Yes? Now, if the owner throws it off, why is the one who breaks it, he's chayv?
The owner threw it off and she wanted to break it. Then the guy messed him up.
And then, he broke, he threw off. Is that a classic example, according to the Rosh, of throwing it into the Rishus HaRabim, and if you throw it into the Rishus HaRabim, somebody can take it and it's not canceled. So why is it throwing off to get broken? Suddenly, if you break it, then you have to pay the owner. The owner has relinquished his ownership by throwing it off the roof. So it's like the Rambam. The Gemara can't be like the Rambam, not like the Rosh, because the Rosh can't argue with the Gemara. The Rosh has to understand the Gemara. And therefore, Anyone's got an answer? No. Except for Yimi. Yimi's answer is absolutely the right answer. The Machne Ephraim explains like this. Somebody who throws it off, he doesn't want it to be lost. Somebody who throws off his wedge with China, he wants his kalim to be broken. He doesn't want it to get lost. And therefore, when you break it, before it breaks on the ground, you are taking away what he wanted to do. He didn't intend to mafgir his ownership over it. He wanted to have his ownership and break it, not to give up his ownership. Mashen came, somebody put something in the Rishus HaRabim, he just wants to give off his ownership, release his ownership in such a case.
Wouldn't that depend on the context? I mean, why he's breaking his kalim? If he's just cleaning out his house, he's going like this, then he's being accurate. But if he's doing because he's angry, then he wants to break it.
Yeah,
it would depend on the
circumstance. Yes, yes, according to the way the market tried. And therefore now, let's look at the architect. He's putting his hands into the area, which means I'm putting it into the street. Therefore, is that considered he's been given releasing his ownership or not releasing his ownership under those circumstances? Is it like the breaking of the China case? Or is it like putting it into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin when he puts his plans into the area?
He's putting it there because that's what he wants. If he doesn't want it public, it has to be there.
He's putting it in there because in order to make money or making plans, that's what he has to do. And that's what he has to do. He has to put it in the public place. He puts it in the public place. That's what he's trying to do.
He's breaking China. He has a cheshbon. He has a cheshbon behind, as Yuri said before. He's got a cheshbon. The cheshbon is he wants to get this property approved.
He doesn't want to break it.
So he has to submit it.
No,
just like the guy throwing the China has a cheshbon.
He's not interested in putting it in. He's just putting it in because he has to put it in.
Let me ask you another question. Microsoft, when they sell their programs, they know as soon as they sell their programs, it's out there. And when it's out there, people are just going to take it. Are they putting it into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin and releasing their ownership over it?
No, they're exercising tremendous control. They go after people all the time that are copyrighted.
And they have copyright also.
They exercise control. They spend a lot of resources to go after people to copy software. They may not catch all of them. They go after individuals. They may not catch all of them, but they definitely go after them. Huh?
So Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Ulbach both have an argument about this. Rabbi Yashiv says like this, the reason why I'm putting it out there is because in order to be, call it Hefker, you have to come on the concept as I want to get rid of my ownership. That's fundamental from this Gemara that we see from throwing off your wedge in China, that if you don't want to release your ownership, then it's not automatic method, it's you releasing your ownership. You put it in the Shasarabim, you're releasing it. You're throwing off the roof, you're not releasing it. So we want you to, you have a positive task to release your ownership. Says Rabbi Yashiv, the people who sell their things to the public, they have no task to release their ownership. They want to control their ownership over it. They want to be able to still be theirs even after they sell it. So therefore, even if it's in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but it's like having a sign. I'm putting this in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but I don't mean to make it hefker. So if somebody puts something in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and says, I'm putting it in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but I don't want it to be hefker, it's not hefker. Says Rabbi Yashiv. And therefore, it's gezel. So Mazalman Ulbach argues, he says, I hold, not like the Rashba, I hold like the Tosus, that as soon as you don't have any control over something, it's automatically the Torah has taken your ownership away, because ownership means control. If it's out there and not in your control, it no longer belongs to you. So therefore, in the Pesach Halacha, it'll come down as a machlokas between the Shlomo Zalman and the Yashiv, whether things like Microsoft or things domain to Microsoft where they can't chase it after, it's just out to the public, but they don't want it make it hefker, whether it's taka hefker or not hefker. But coming back to our case of the architect, the Kula Alma, even Rabbi Yashiv will say that it's Hefka. Because in the case of the architect, the Iriyah are telling him, the way to make your money, in this case, is by giving it to us and being able to release it to the public. By definition, when you're giving it to us, we are going to give it to the public. So you can't say that, you know, I give it to you with, but I have no intention for you to be able to release it to the public. Because if you do that, says the area, you can't submit the plans. We don't want your plans if you're going to make controls on us. And if so, you have to be the advert, say, I am being mafker it. And therefore the plans of the architect is definitely not a problem of Gezel for anyone to make a copy of that in, from the area, even according to Rabbi Yashiv, unlike the issues of Microsoft and the interior designer from last week. It's a shame next week to talk about copyright law.
What is the difference between